SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And day two at Keeneland. Wow. What can you say? Another interesting afternoon of horse sale, as they say. Unbelievable. $4.1 million. Curlin Colt to Godolphin. Godolphin just racking them up. Shake Mo. Not shy. Again yesterday. The top two hips came back as well. The Curlin Colt came after the $2.9 million Warfront. That's the one that we talked about from Airdrie, Brary Jones, out of Believe You Can. $2.9 million became the session topper and the sale topper at that point. And then, I don't know, couldn't have been more than 45 minutes later, within an hour, here came the Curlin out of Bounding, bred by Stone Street, $4.1 million. We'll talk to Sid, top of hour two. He's on the scene. Get his reaction to what is going on. Yesterday, you had 5 7-figure hips as opposed to 7 on day one, but there was also a glut of 900,000, 700, some crazy, I mean, just enormous prices. A lot of the same buyers too, and combinations. Some of those partnership allies that have formed in recent years, SF and Starlight with Matticat, they took home a couple of, at least two or three. There was also China Horse Club with Windstar. They took the Zenyatta. Blue Essence Dubawi Colt for $700,000. Blue Essence, the Zenyatta sister. $700,000 there. More of the Japanese activity. Yuji Hasegawa. $700,000 for the Curlin Colt out of Date to Remember. Sienna Farms. Some of the names we talked about yesterday, Denali continuing, the Banneroffs continuing to rack up, you know, big numbers. They had the Tappet Colt that went for $675 to Don Adam, Cortland Farm. They also had the Top Philly, the Curlin. I mean, Curlin, just congratulations to John Sequeira and everybody at Hill and Dale, as Curlin really flexed the muscles. Yesterday, Stone Street, you know, had also bred the Top Philly Knockdown yesterday, $1,050,000 for the daughter of Curlin out of Dreaming of Julia. Shadwell in action there. And Shea Camden also brought home a Warfront Philly also, you know, not long before the Curlin filly, he bought the Warfront filly out of Delightful Joy for $1 million as well. So Shadwell and Godolphin leading the buying bench, as they say, and, you know, looking at the numbers through day two. I'm just shuffling papers. There we go. Through day two. I got day two totals and through day two. Book one will wrap up today. Then everybody gets a breather, and they get ready for the marathon starting Friday. Godolphin yesterday, 3 for 2.7 million, essentially, an average, 8 million total. Shadwell, 7 yesterday. Starlight, SF, Matticat, 3 for 1.6 million. Don Adam yesterday, 3, 1.6 million. So, through 2 days, Godolphin has spent 13 and a quarter million. Shadwell has spent 7,670,000. Larry Best came back yesterday as well and bought another one. Not a Into Mischief, though. That I did note that he went in a different direction yesterday. What was it yesterday? It was something a little. It might have been a flatter, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I saw there was, what was it that I can't, at a glance, I'm not seeing the Larry Best. There it is. Yeah, there it is. 900,000 for Hip 250, the flatter, bred by Nancy Shuford, consigned by the Huckabees. 900,000. So, through day two, Oxo Equine, 3.175 million for four hips. Same could be said also, more activity from Peter Brandt as well. 2.6 million, six hips in 2 days. And the Rapoli Viola and or Rapoli Viola Coolmore, they continue to be active. Bob Lothenbach, kind of the typical 250 to 400, 500. That's his range. Same thing with Fox Hill. Rick Porter buying in a similar fashion. And we did see some of the activity from Pinhookers start to, you know, start to pick off some horses in the 150 to 300 range. Quite a few names jumping in there. So we'll get Sid's take going into the third section of the book, one activity. And today you do have the last of Leslie's Lady offerings. And this expected to be, you know, today's focal point. A number, you know, that's just one of some high profile types, but in particular, the interest and the excitement over the American Pharoah Filly out of Leslie's Lady. And of course, this makes her Mendelssohn's sister and Beholder's sister and so forth. Yeah, there'll be, there was already plenty of buzz going in. Hip 498, and they start at 381 today. So it is about halfway. I would guess that you could see this filly go through at about the halfway point, right? Yeah, that would be about right. So figure from noon to 5:30, somewhere between 2:20 and 3 o'clock. somewhere in there. Maybe, yeah, maybe about 3 o'clock. All right, so we'll get Sid's thoughts. Looking forward to Sid also weighing in. He's been sort of surveying the Jockey Club proposal regarding limiting stallion covers. He's taken some stock with some of his clients, obviously, and with breeders, and a wonderful reaction yesterday to Rob Whiteley. And Rob, as valuable an insight as you're going to have on this topic, and he's got a particular angle on it. You know, having been a bit of a boutique breeding operation, Liberation Farm, for as long as he has. And, yes, the market, markets change and shift, but, the kinds of opinions you get on the topic like this from a Rob Whiteley, invaluable when trying to, determine what the best, what's best for the industry. So, from what we can tell, and I'm anxious for Sid to talk about this. There's a lot of people who are going to reserve their public comments for after the sale. They just don't want to, go out there publicly and lean in on one direction or another till after the sale. And frankly, they've got horses to sell. So you can also understand that. They've got a particular focus. But it was wonderful to hear from Rob and a lot of people who obviously anybody that has been around the business for any length of time knows Rob Whiteley, and those of you that are fairly new to the business and to the game and this kind of discussion, you couldn't hear from a more respected and accomplished voice. A couple of things before we head to the break. I'll give you a quick rundown, too, because Pete Fornatale, Pete's on his way to Toronto, and we'll talk Woodbine Mile Day. That'll come together this morning. I think the draw is noon, actually, and they usually stream that. So Woodbine Mile, and it looks like a field of 10 coming together. I got that field to talk about. And I also want to make sure everybody is set for Saturday's final, the championship, in the Beat Pick competition. We've got about 1,800 entries, and there's been a flood of signups. Those of you that beat me with one of your qualifiers, people could get up to 3 entries for Saturday. We'll play it at horseplayers.com. You can register now. You got the email from Holly. You can register now. Tina registered. She's got 2 entries, but she won with me. She did not get the dollar qualifier, and she was not happy about that. She tried to beat me after she got the 2 qualifiers for the third one. The last 2 weekends, she took 5 shots, and she wasn't happy. She wanted to get away with the dollar sign up for the tour, which at least I think 150 of you have. So tremendous. If you qualified by playing with me on one of the 6 that I hit, then you got to pay $50. And pay the 50, though, because now that for those of you that are just getting involved in the contest scene, now that you've done it, you're going to want to keep trying. But we're really excited, and we'll get a representative this year from the show in Vegas. On the racing front, last night, and this was my fault, I had known that Prairie Meadows was wrapping up their season, and I failed to let everybody know about last night. I felt like an idiot after I got off the air. The Pick 5 force out last night. There was 325,000 in their pick five, in their jackpot pick five. And so they had to pay it last night. And ultimately, $1.8 million came in. So you had a flood. And you always check with Marshall Graham on the player's edge. And sure enough, there was $1.9 million returned to the bettors. So a player's edge of over 2.5%. And that's why, you know, waiting for these jackpot force outs is the way to go. And, I mean, you know, they don't always go in the player's direction, but they do often. And even if they just get close to tilting in your direction, it's still, you know, that's the time to play. The sequence was well worth playing. It came back $1,700 and change. And there were a couple of decent prices. There was a 7-1 to start the sequence, which was tricky. But then you had an even money favorite. You had a 3-1 second choice in the third leg. Then you had a, call it a little under a 3-1 second choice win the fourth leg, and a 2-1 favorite win the last leg. So it was approachable, and you got back 1,700. So well done to those that played. Let's take a break. Pete starts us off. Lots to do today. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob to decided not to play along, so it grew bigger. Me and my head have become very, very, very close. We decided not to tell you, to tell you about it. We're just gonna play it safe, do what we know, play it cool, lay low, not tell you about it. And here I am, playing by myself. Me and my superiority complex.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes in, we're going to hear from Maggie Kimmett, who you know, of course, from the Grand Motion operation, Herring Swell, but the real Ryder Cup, Ryder with an I, not with a Y, coming up again. And we talked to Maggie last year before it. This has gotten a lot of notoriety. And, of course, it also comes on the heels of Anna Ford and the new vocations activities at the horse park over the weekend. I told you about that on Friday, the All Thoroughbred Charity Horse Show. Big success, 450 Thoroughbreds off the track, and some that never really made it to the track. But they competed, and this is all, you know, this all ties back to the tremendous work that Stuart Pittman. It happens to be, as an aside, it happens to be Stuart Pittman's birthday. The Thoroughbred Makeover, and you know, the whole movement to create these competitions for the second career candidates, you know, the horses coming off the racetrack, and it's been a huge success. And in fact, I also want to get at some point, maybe today even, the TCA, the Thoroughbred Charities, they awarded the 5 dozen grants, and a lot of the, you know, the retraining competition concepts being rewarded for their great work. So we'll talk to Maggie after Pete Fornital. And Pete joins us now, and he's getting ready to head up to Woodbine. It's become really a regular stop on the calendar for Pete and for a lot of others. Woodbine Mile Day Saturday. They'll draw the card today, I think at noon at Woodbine. And it looks like a field of 10 led by Get Stormy and Raging Bull and a few of the locals. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. I always like to hear those stories about the off-the-track Thoroughbreds. I got to spend a lot of time this summer up in Saratoga doing those open barn events with the TRF. And it's so great when you see those stories about the horses who go into the hands of folks like that and get retrained for those second careers. So we applaud that work from all corners of the industry. And, yes, I've talked to you over the years in a variety of circumstances. I don't think I've ever talked to you while I was packing, and yet that's what's happening now, getting ready to head out to JFK. I'm going to be up at Woodbine tonight. I've never been for their evening racing. It has become a regular stop on the calendar, made my first Queen's Plate this year. This might be this is my third or fourth Woodbine Mile in a row. My first one was Tepid, so I can figure it out. I can figure it out with a quick search what my first one was. But really looking forward to what looks to be a really interesting clash between horses that we've seen competing in different places. And you mentioned Got Stormy, of course, bringing some star power and harkening back to Tepin. That's going to be interesting. The rematch with Raging Bull, that's an interesting storyline in and of itself. I'm really interested to see how this William Haggis runner, Awesome Tank, does in her next start in North America after running an absolute blinder at Arlington. That's one that I've got my eyes on, and it's going to be a really fun day of racing. Can't wait for them to draw and really dive in. But Synchrony, another horse who seems to have really found a home up at Woodbine and looks very tough on the best form in there. It's a mouth-watering clash, and I'm expecting the card to be really interesting as well. So excited to get up there and see all our friends from Woodbine this weekend for sure.
Well, and you mentioned the card and the whole week. Are you staying for Sunday too?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make the races on Sunday, which is too bad because they've added a couple of additional two-year-old races, and it looks amazing. It was just going to be too hard with the travel schedule and getting back for family responsibilities, etc. But I wish, it's the old, I wish I could be in two places at once to check out what's now. I think it's going to be a quartet of two-year-old stakes races on Sunday at Woodbine as well. I'll be playing via mobile as I make my way back down to New York then.
Well, you got the Natalma and the Summer that have become, you know, absolute feeders right into Breeders' Cup, you know, year after year. Those horses have done very well, you know, moving out of, you know, out of these stakes. And on Sunday, you've also got the Bold Venture, you know, the Grade 3 Sprint, and you've also got the Canadian going a mile and an eighth. And then on Saturday, in addition, of course, to the mile, you also get the Northern Dancer, right, is run. And what else are we missing? I think that's it.
There's another, isn't there a synthetic stakes race as well? Well, we'll have all the information in a couple hours when they draw. But it's a loaded weekend, and folks looking to get a little extra insight, we're going to be doing an on-track seminar, Steve, on Saturday at 11:30. So we should have the scratches by then. I think the first post is right around 1. Tommy Massis is going to be on hand.
Hey,
as
now.
Pat Cummins. There's the man himself. But I'll have and there's no bleep button because it's live, so that's going to be very interesting. But no, Tommy's great. We're going to have fun talking through the stakes races, talking a little bit about this Woodbine Mile Day contest. Tommy will be participating, so he'll keep it a little bit close to the vest as far as some of the specific wagering strategy goes. But those guys are going to bring some really good insight, and we'll post that as a podcast soon after the show wraps. But if you're going to be live at Woodbine, come by and see us. We're going to be on the third floor at 11:30, and I'm looking forward to gaining some views from those two guys who are entertaining by themselves and particularly entertaining together. So we should have a good time on Saturday.
Well, and for those that were looking for the rest of that field, I mentioned we had the lineup set here. The local contingent is going to be led by Nick Gonzalez with Silent Poet. And this is a very nice Stronach, Adina homebred by Silent Name, who I just think the world of, and I've talked about for years. And Silent Poet is a four-year-old gelding, won the Play the King, the 7-furlong, you know, quasi prep for this, and showed a little bit of a added dimension. Did not, you know, had been kind of going to the lead most recently, you know, as he got good as a 3-year-old, and then, you know, really only, this is only his third start of the year as a 4-year-old. And Silent Poet is very dangerous in here. And obviously the focus is going to be on Got Stormy and Raging Bull, but nothing wrong with Silent Poet. You've also got the fourth place finisher out of the Play the King, El Tormenta, in here. Admiralty Pier is coming back out of the Play the King. You've also got American Guru, a recent allowance winner. You mentioned Synchrony. There's Emmaus, who came out of the King Edward. Luke Allen, coming up for Kieran.
Lore winner. Yep.
Absolutely. And we should mention, by the way, since Kieran's name came up, I was going to save it for Sid, but Kurban, slight injury, and is retired. He's retired.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yep, that happened yesterday.
That. Yeah. So that horse loved Saratoga, that Kurban. That was for sure. But
well,
it is a terrific group. There's no doubt about it, Stephen. And I'm glad you mentioned Silent Poet. Perhaps those local wins. And just the question is, you know, can he extend that form and speed over the mile with the push button look he has? I think there's no reason why he can't be a contender in there. And I wouldn't rule out that El Tormenta for your underneath slots. I don't know if El Tormenta is good enough against the best of these, but that was a legitimate trip last time, I thought, and is a horse I wouldn't rule out to maybe sneak in there at a number. It's going to be fun to watch how it all plays out. I look forward to having actual PPs. I might do a write-up of this one, either for my friends over at the other At the Races, At the Races in the UK, or I might even just put it up on the blog just because I'm so interested in it, and I know it sometimes helps me really focus and finalize my thoughts when I actually put them down on paper rather than just do them in theory. So I would look for something for me further to the Woodbine Mile over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com in the next few days once we have actual PPs in hand, which should be later tonight.
Well, and some other star power on the card. Holy Elena is running, and we talked on TV. Seth and I talked to Jimmy Jerkins, and Holy Elena has been up, preparing for the Northern Dancer, and she obviously is serious in here. You're also going to see. Oh, you got Pink Lloyd. Have you seen him run?
I have never seen Pink Lloyd in person, but obviously I've been following the story like everybody else. It's been just the wind machine. And Holy Elena, that's a talk about a local hero. That was such a big story this Queen's Play Day, seeing her make her return to the winner's circle. Folks were very excited about that. It's a loaded card. I expect that we're going to have great attendance. There's a lot to hang your marketing hat on. Fingers crossed, but the weather looks like it's going to be good. And then, of course, this contest, which there's still time to enter, that's going to bring in some international participation as well. I was super proud of the fact last year that we had as many USA entries in the contest as we had local entries. I'm hoping we can come close to matching that feat again this year. And we'll have the annual Jersey Challenge, me against Mike Eves, depending on if a local player wins or one of the USA Raiders. We'll have to see what jersey he's sporting after our American victory last year. And hopefully the USA team could keep this tradition going, Ryder Cup, the other Ryder Cup style with the USA players versus the Canadian ones. It's going to be a lot of fun, Steve. I'm very excited to get myself up there and get ensconced at Woodbine.
Well, and I do want to mention also that you've got the two-year-old stakes that we brought up for Sunday, and Fair Maiden, who we discussed with Owen Hardy, the overpowering winner at Arlington and at Woodbine in the Catch a Glimpse, going to go in the Natalma. So another chance for her to take a step forward. And terrific. Tis a Slam for Roger Atfield, too. We've talked to Roger about Tis a Slam in the Northern Dancer. Holy Elena's in the Canadian, not the Northern Dancer.
Right. And
terrific card that we're looking forward to, highlighted by the Woodbine Mile you mentioned Teppan. I came up there for Teppan's. Was that her second? I guess that was her second win. That was fun. Were you there that day? I can't remember if you came.
I
Seth,
was there.
Seth
that
was there.
Day. I think I saw you only. I saw you only briefly, but our paths did cross. I think we were doing some radio. I think I only saw you in the morning. We had adjacent offices that we were doing broadcasts from, as I recall.
Oh, there you go. All right, that makes sense. That's all a blur, frankly. when you come into those.
Weeks ago, you're asking me about
exactly.
It's a different situation.
Exactly. Well, and I, before you were coming on, I don't have a whole lot of details yet because we need to draw the Saturday cards today around the country, but we will by tomorrow. The races, the 12 races that we're going to utilize for the championship, for the Beat Bic Challenge, and we've got 1,800 plus potential entries, about 900, basically about 900 individuals qualified, Pete, and the races, and there'll be PPs available for everybody, and I just was reiterating to get everybody signed up that is not currently a tour member. That would be the worst. You gotta be a tour member to win the seat and the trip to Vegas.
and to be able to do so at such a discount, it's a no-brainer that folks should really take advantage of. I'm happy, Steve, when everything gets announced and you guys start tweeting, I'll keep an eye out for it and try to amplify it through my Twitter. But if you think of to tag me, I'd also be very happy to make sure that we get that information out there, just to remind people who might have qualified over the summer that this is the day. You got to get signed up for the tour, and this is as good a way as any to get your ticket punched for the NHC out in January. I'm already looking forward. I mean, there's a lot to happen between now and then, but already looking forward to the opportunity to sit there with you in the new ballroom at Bally's. And this is one of the stories. The Beat Bic winner is going to be one of the many fun stories that we'll be following out there as we begin the march to crown a new NHC champion in February of 2020.
What other action? I told everybody about Canterbury, and what else do we know for the weekend and for activity? I'm going to pull up the schedule. And
There's a lot of online stuff happening. Horseplayers.com. This is we just talked about the NHC, but in the forefront of many players' minds, if they haven't already gotten their entry into the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, that's on the forefront of a lot of players' minds. The opportunity to go ahead and win that $10,000 buy-in. You can play it online these days too. So even if you can't make the trip out to Santa Anita, that I can't emphasize enough what a great opportunity that contest is. And if you don't believe me, go back and look through. You can still find those published plays from last year. There's just so many people playing in that contest, just looking to sort of grind along and play within the context of the contest and, you know, maybe sneak up in the low rungs of the money, but who aren't necessarily playing to win or really taking advantage of all that prize money at the top of the pool. So if you have an aggressive bone in your body as a horse player, I truly believe that becomes a positive expectation situation. And yes, you can put up the $10,000, but if you're looking for a controlled way to get great action with a little potential pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I really believe it's worth trying to qualify for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge online, which you can do over at Horse Players. There'll also be some other contests that have seats in them. As far as bricks and mortar, you mentioned the Canterbury contest, and I'm glad you did, because that's one that I've never been, but players have told me very nice things about over the years. But still an opportunity to get involved in this Woodbine Mile Day contest. That one you do have to be at Woodbine in person, but it's an easy trip, even last minute. And we've had players decide at the last minute to come up from New York, Boston, Detroit, Ohio, wherever, and make it there. So I encourage you, if you like live bankroll play, to get involved when it comes to this Woodbine Mile Day contest. But I think there's probably some other things coming up on the calendar as well, Steve, that are worth highlighting.
Well, LaSalle has got live action on Saturday, and they've got at least the minimum of two and up to four seats potentially on Saturday. I can tell you that I can give you the result of at least one of the Canterbury qualifiers from the 3 days. They did a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and in the ultimate NHC qualifier, this would have been the Friday, and Joe Gauthier and Andrew Carlson were the two winners on Friday, and I'll try to dig up the Saturday as well.
Good stuff, and that's one of the stories we'll continue to follow as the march to the BCBC, the march to the NHC, and various live bank opportunities along the way. The contest world is continuing to grow and provide some of the best opportunities out there for horse players when you pick and choose your spots. And I continue to look forward to talking about all that stuff with you here, Steve, and also over at the various shows in the Money Podcast Network. I expect we'll have the Woodbine Mile winner as a guest next week, hopefully, on one of the shows, and get a chance to give some insight to people who are maybe haven't tried contests but are thinking they might want to get involved. So many of the people in this world, they're very generous with their information. You can learn a lot by hearing them talk, and hopefully it can lead to paydays down the line for listeners to this show as well.
Well, I appreciate it, and have a great trip up, Pete. We'll follow the action, and of course, not only will we talk about Woodbine, we'll have I absolutely will have the Beat Pick Challenge winner.
As a
guest, right? We'll do that as well. So fun time up at Woodbine, and I'll tell you what, but Tina and I will not be all that far away. We will be ourselves up at the Thousand Islands, so we'll be down the St. Lawrence from you.
Fantastic, and I know that's a trip you guys always look forward to, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing, and you deserve a chance to kick back and celebrate, and I look forward to catching up with you when you get back next week.
Pete Fornatale, folks, looms boldly, and the In the Money Player Podcast, he and JK, and a multitude of guests. We're going to take a break here. We'll come right back. Maggie Kimmett's going to join us, talk about the Real Ryder Cup. A lot of your favorite simulcast and paddock host types are going to mount their favorite off-the-track thoroughbred and compete. We'll get all the details from Maggie Kimmett next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
In the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking!
We're back at the races, 15 to the top of the hour. Sid Fernando at the Keeneland Sale. to come. Bill Downs will join us too. Indiana Grand today. Four more stakes. And last week, the Open Company three-year-olds on the grass. And today, you've got Indiana Breds and a nice set of four races. I got a couple of heavy favorites, but I got a couple of races that are open. There's also a decent maiden special that precedes the four stakes. So we'll talk to Bill Downs, and we'll probably hope to get a Kentucky Downs preview tomorrow. Hammer will join us on the last day of Kentucky Downs for 2019, and Byron King as well. So we'll handicap plenty tomorrow, but I did want to get a little bit of an advance in too. I can tell you, I heard from Lee Einsiedler this morning, and his Casa Creed, who won the Hall of Fame and was second in the Penn Mile, he was going to be a major player tomorrow, but he's going to scratch. They're going to pair back, and he's made seven starts in the first 8 months of the year. So they're going to give him a little freshening here and point to the winter with Casa Creed. So FYI, if you're handicapping, you'll see later on today they'll have the early scratches for Kentucky Downs. So Neverland Rock would get in if that's the case. And if anybody else comes out, Abyssinian would get in for Wesley Ward. And actually, Karatari is also on the AE list, 12-1 for Brian Lynch, and he would be a danger if he were to get in. So this is the Franklin Simpson tomorrow, the last stake of the Kentucky Downs season. They'll also run the $500,000 Ramsey Farm for the Phillies and Mares, going a mile and 5/16. Nacho Correa's bringing back Nepali Spirit again. So Kentucky Downs wraps up tomorrow. It's been really a fun, as always, a fun couple of weeks with Kentucky Downs, and Hammer's had just the greatest time there. A great time to be had next Friday afternoon and evening, the Real Ryder Cup, the third edition. We got Maggie Kimmett back. You know her and love her from her work with the Grand Motion Herring Swell team. Maggie, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And here is, you know, another of the fall season's awareness opportunities, off the track thoroughbreds competing in the show ring and the Real Ryder Cup, which started, you know, very modestly and was really an instant hit. And last year in its second year got, you know, that much more attention and notoriety. It's got a lot of familiar faces from around the racetracks. Talk about this third edition of the Real Ryder Cup.
Well, we have changed venues this year, and we're in Maryland at Fair Hill, so we're literally in our backyard, which we're thrilled about. We're combining forces with the Fair Hill Thoroughbred Show, which has been held there for many years. We're tickled about that as well. Nita Motion approached them earlier this year to see if they would be interested in hosting us. And they were very enthusiastic, and we've been working with them all summer. They've been great. So this year, we're actually our own standalone event. The first 2 years, we were part of Plantation Field International Horse Trials, where we were almost a kind of like a novelty act, if you will, on the Sunday of that event during their lunch break. So this year, we're bigger. We have five teams of five riders. We've actually had people coming to us, you know, wanting to ride, people wanting to see the horses. So it's gotten some great traction, and we're excited about this year. Lots of cool things going on. We have five returning horses. We have four returning riders. I can talk about them at length. The best thing to do is to go to therealridercup.com, where each rider has a page. You can read their bios, learn about them, and most importantly, you can donate. Each rider has a button on their page to donate. And as you know, Steve, no amount is insignificant. Everything counts. It's all going to our two beneficiaries, which are the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations. Lots of local vendors this year. We're trying to make this as Maryland as we can, which, you know, I'm all cheerleader about that. Sagamore Spirit is donating some Sagamore Rye whiskey, so we'll have our own signature cocktail, which is called the Maryland Mule. But, I mean, as far as the riders and the horses go, we have an Eclipse Award winner, Demonstrative, who was a 2014 steeplechase champion.
Sure.
And he's reuniting with Robbie Walsh, who rode him in many of his Grade 1 wins. We've got him. We've got a Team Valor horse named Hal Great, whom Graham trained for quite some
sure.
time. He was a stakes winner of over half a million. And Danielle Hodgson, another steeplechase jockey, is going to be riding him. So there's a lot to learn, a lot to see on our website and all of our social media pages, where you can find out about all these terrific people and these horses. Pick one to support, pick several to support, you know, whatever your preference is. Another one to mention, we've got Twill Do, who won the Maryland Hunt Cup twice, and his rider, James Deerhoff. Twill Do is now 19, and James and Twill Do are competing as part of Team Jockeys. I'll tell you the five teams. Yeah, I mean,
well, and Team Jockeys, we'll touch on the different groups, but Team Jockeys, you already mentioned a couple, but Team Jockey looks like they got to be 3 to 5 in here.
I mean, you got to be like that. Yeah.
Daniel Hodgson, Ashley Castrenze, who yeah. you know is terrific, and Forrest Boyce
yeah.
is on part of Team Jockey. You mentioned James Steerhoff
and
Robbie Walsh. I mean, come on, that's not fair.
You would think that, but if you keep reading, if you notice, I tell you another team that's going to be really really strong is the Racetrack Kids. It's going to be a lot of fun to see them. Three of the kids are grandchildren of the late Patty Nelson, and they will certainly be riding to honor their granddad next week, which is, you know, going to be wonderful. But we've got Natalie and Parker Hendricks, who are the children of Santa Nelson. You got Skylar McKenna, who is Kathy Nelson's daughter, Ellie Turnbull and Jessica Silver. A couple of the horses that the kids are riding are returning horses. Embarrassed is going to be ridden by Skylar this year. And I'm pretty sure Parker might be riding Harmony Bay. And in that case, this is Harmony Bay's third appearance. He will have been in every one of them. So, like, again, cool horses, really cool people. The racing and farm manager team is another one that with some names you'll notice. Clifford Barry from Pin Oak Stud.
Sure.
He's going to be riding a horse named Affirmed Arch, who I understand is about 17.3. He's just massive. Sergio D'Souza from Hidden Brook Farm is going to be on a Giants Causeway horse named Isle of Giants, who looks like he can just jump the moon. You got Jocelyn Brooks from Sagamore with her own Perpetual Optimism, and he competed in the inaugural event. So, like I said, pick a rider, pick a horse, choose something to support and help us out, donate for Thoroughbred Aftercare.
Well, we should mention Team Freestyle as well, which includes last year's winner, right? Clovis Crane, I think, won last year.
No, actually, this is Clovis's first time with us. Last year it was Jack Fisher.
Jack Fisher, there we go. That's right. I knew a trainer had won.
Yeah. The Freestyle team is going to be three side saddle riders. Clovis is riding bareback. And if you have not visited the site yet and the social media pages, check them out and look at the video of Clovis and his horse. It's absolutely fabulous. And we've also got Kay-Marie Kreidel, who is our local hero from Preakness Day with Bodie Express. She's going to ride side saddle. Kay-Marie grew up riding side saddle, which is a well-known fact. And she's riding Trey Bear, the horse she rode 2 years ago, but she rode him astride. She did not ride him side saddle, but she's riding him side saddle this year. And Sharon Dominguez is coming back on Sir JJ, and they do the War Bridle. And they were a huge hit last year. A lot of people were really entertained by that. So, yeah, Team Freestyle, all five of these teams are terrific. It's going to be great, great fun to watch.
How is the winner determined?
It's just like a regular show jumping course.
Okay.
You know, time involved, exactly. So, and we noticed something the other day. Anita and I were both talking about this. Last year, not to jinx anybody, but last year and the year before, the first rider ended up being the winner. And the first rider ended up being a steeplechase jockey. So we're throwing down a challenge to everybody else. Got to beat these guys. Come out there and try to outdo the steeplechase jockeys.
Well, and you mentioned the beneficiaries, and of course, New Vocations just last weekend at the horse park, Anna Ford and her team with a very successful show, 450 thoroughbreds, and you know the retraining that goes on at New Vocations. the retired racehorse project. Right from the start, we featured Stuart Pittman and you know the concept, which really has just ballooned and just gotten bigger every year. It, you know, by the way, it's Stuart's birthday. If you didn't know.
Thank you. I'll reach out. Thanks so much. Happy birthday, Stuart, if you're listening.
And, of course, Stuart right now completely immersed in his full-time job that the Anne Arundel County Executive, and he's been – I mean, he's just been nonstop. I mean, the whirlwind of activity that Stuart has brought to the position. And, we talked to him when it seemed like it was going to be a long shot for him to win. And he absolutely was the right choice going in. And, you know, the results are speaking for themselves. But the Retired Racehorse Project, Jen Reutz and everybody there, you know, that continues to just grow. And this whole awareness that kind of preceded a lot of the discussion that's gone on this year, Maggie, in terms of the industry's recognition of taking care of horses that either, you know, don't really make it as racehorses or the ones that made it as racehorses and then, you know, need a second job. And, you know, the creation of these kinds of activities really demonstrates, you know, the commitment that the industry's got and the people that take the horses off the track and fashion them into, you know, into a second career. And the horses appreciate it. They don't want to, there are plenty that, you know, that are better off being, you know, out in a field the rest of their lives, but the ones that, you know, that like having a job, they're made for this.
Oh, absolutely. And you'll notice, as I said, if you read these bios, we have horses that earn maybe $300. We have horses, I don't know if Demonstrative is a millionaire. If not, he was very close. So it certainly runs the gamut from very, very accomplished to horses that maybe, you know, never won a race. Doesn't make any difference. It's a level playing field in this case with these horses. They're all loved equally. We're going to do something else with the remaining days between now and the event. We're going to do fun facts. It's called Did You Know on our social media pages, and we've asked all of these folks to just tell us some cool little things about these horses. And the comments and remarks are pouring in, and some of them are pretty hysterical. But it definitely plays, excuse me, to the comment you just made about how they love their jobs. They want something to do. Some of them just absolutely sulk and fret if they don't have that job. And, you know, most of these horses are just really, really enjoy doing this kind of thing. And like I said, the ones that are coming back year after year, to me, that makes it even more special. You see these horses coming back and just packing people around these courses. And very often, you know, we have Harry Race the Fourth, whom you probably know. Harry's dad is a well-known valet in New York. Harry is on Team Racing Media. I don't know that Harry does a tremendous amount of riding and show jumping, but he's on this team and really enthusiastic about it. So we've matched him up with a horse that's going to get him around there, and he'll have a great deal of fun. So it's a tremendous vehicle for the horses and the riders. We're just tickled at the response and the way this has been embraced, and everyone's so enthusiastic about it.
Well, and included on that team, Penelope Miller, of course, from America's Best Racing, and the daughter of Lev Miller, longtime breeder and owner. You mentioned Harry, and of course I know Harry, the little Harry, and Big Harry, Jessica Paquette, part of the Team Racing media, and Alana Kramer as well.
Yeah, it's another strong team. I think that, you know, so you're talking about the odds and who might win. I think it's anybody's game, and it's going to be tremendous fun to watch them. There's very much a team spirit with these folks. I mean, they're all really celebrating each other and promoting each other, which we love to see. Makes our job a whole lot easier. But I don't, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to see who ends up winning it. I think Penelope is gunning for it. You know, she finished second last year. She's doing an awful lot on social media to get people to donate and even to come out and watch. So she might be one to keep your eye on. I think she's going to be pretty serious about it this year.
Well, each of the riders as part of this is guaranteeing to raise $1,000, and you know, you can donate toward any of the any of the teams, any of the riders. But in terms of attending, about going to Fairhill, and it, as you mentioned, it, you're tied in this year to a big weekend. You know, talk about people coming, you know, potentially for the first time to Fairhill, and give everybody the lay of the land for the weekend.
Well, the property is basically split by Route 273. It's a two-lane road that on one side you have the training facility and the racetrack, and on the other side you have what was the steeplechase course and is now, of course, undergoing this massive transformation into a five-star event venue. And then just at the bottom of what used to be the steeplechase course is it's actually used for the Cecil County Fair. And there is a grandstand and a very, very nice show ring and pavilions and whatnot. So that's where the horse show takes place. And that's where we will be Friday evening in the show jumping ring. A bit more casual this year than it has been at Plantation Field. There is no charge for admittance. We have, like I said, the local vendors, Fairhill's famous taco truck, which we maintain is one of the best anywhere. They're going to be doing the food. And as I said, we've got a local vineyard and a winery. We've got Sagamore Spirit coming out. We've got an ice cream truck. So definitely very fan-friendly, very family-friendly. Like I said, you just have to come on out and wander on over to the ring and have a seat in the grandstand and watch the goings-on.
And then the for the show, for the rest of the for the rest of the Thoroughbred show, on Saturday and Sunday, what do they do?
They have Hunter Day on Saturday and Jumper Day on Sunday. So they also have a silent auction going on. They've got some great stuff in that. And that'll go on all day long, both days. Those stay busy, busy, busy. And it's the same format. You know, no fees to attend. Just come on out, enjoy yourself, sit and watch. Their classes are usually quite full. And again, they're all thoroughbred horses. I don't know. In our case, the horses must have raced at least once to be in the Real Rider Cup. I don't think that's specific to the show. I think they just have to be registered thoroughbred horses. So the whole week is completely focused on the thoroughbred. Whole weekend, rather.
Really nice. Nice. Well, you can visit therealridercup.com, and they're also on Facebook. They've got the Twitter links as well. And Maggie, best of luck to everybody next Friday. What time should everybody be there?
5 o'clock. We're going to try to get started right at 5 o'clock. I think we'll do the course walk maybe around 4:15, 4:30. We will be there all day long. So anytime people want to show up, just come on out. You know, stake a claim in the grandstand and just have a lot of fun with us. We hope to see a lot of people there.
Well, and for those that can't make it and want to help this always important cause, therealridercup.com/donate. You go to the website. It's right there for you. Any amount, any which way, and helping with the retraining of thoroughbreds coming off the racetrack and giving them something to do for another 6, 8, 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we encourage you. Go pick somebody out. And again, no amount is too small. Every dime's going to benefit aftercare. So have fun with that.
Maggie Kimmett, I appreciate it. And we'll be watching. There's always a ton of media and a lot of we'll see the pictures and video clips next Friday. And we'll remind everybody again next week, the Real Rider Cup on the 20th. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Not at all. Maggie Kimmett and the Real Rider Cup, third year. A lot of familiar names and faces. Visit the website, and we'll send out links as well to their Twitter page and their Facebook page. Let's take a break, top of the hour here, and Sid Fernando standing by at the Keeneland Sale. Get Sid's thoughts about the Jockey Club proposal, about limiting books for stallions, see what he thinks and what kind of reactions he's hearing, and then we'll dive into a little bit more of the first 2 days and what lies ahead as well. Back after this, Sid Fernando, Work Thoroughbred Consultants next.